Yesterday, history was made in the theatre world as this year's Tony Award nominations were announced. On the Monocle Arts Review today, we'll be talking through the nominees, including the play that's up for no less than a record-breaking 16 awards. And to talk us through that, as well as three other musicals on stage now, is the theatre critic for the International New York Times, Matt Wolfe, who's in the Big Apple as we speak. All that is ahead on the Monocle Arts Review with me, Tom Edwards. Stay tuned. Welcome to the show, Matt. Good to have you with us, as always. How are things in New York City? All good, I hope?
Well, they're busy and bustling, as is always the case at Tony season.
Well, let's talk about those Tony Awards straight away. I guess there is really one key headline here, history being made an almighty 16 times, Matt. Tell us about this.
Well, this is Hamilton the musical, which ever since it bowed off Broadway over a year ago has been sort of setting the bar higher and higher and higher in terms of prices, advance sale, everything. So it got 16 nominations. It was nominated in every category for which it could have been nominated. And you sort of slightly feel for the other competitors. You know, do they wish perhaps they'd opened last season or next season and didn't have to go up against this kind of 10-ton behemoth? On the other hand, I think everyone agrees that Hamilton is a very deserving record-breaking show. It is absolutely as diverse as you could wish for in a climate where that has been much under scrutiny of late at the Oscars. It's a very provocative look at American history that widens out beyond that to talk about issues of race and diversity, as I say. So it couldn't go, I suppose, in a way to a better candidate. And the rest of the nominees will just have to bask in its shadow.
Well, we often talk, Matt, a little bit about the politics of award season and when there's somebody that everyone feels should be recognised, and it almost seems to make other nominees feel guilty. But it's interesting here, talking about politics, you've got people from Hamilton facing off against one another in the same category. You virtually never see that.
Yeah, I mean, well, Lin-Manuel Miranda, who plays the title role of Alexander Hamilton, the first Secretary of the Treasury, who's, for people who don't know, he's on the $10 bill in the United States. So every time you pay for something here, you might be looking at him. And he's up against the actor who plays Aaron Burr, who was Alexander Hamilton's assassin. So that's kind of interesting. And then in Best Featured or Supporting Actor in a Musical, you have the performers who played George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, and King George III. So that's a weird sort of historical mashup in a way. It's worth saying that, you know, some of the shows in the shadow of Hamilton include, for instance, an Andrew Lloyd Webber musical, School of Rock. Now, this is the first time that Lloyd Webber has had a hit Broadway musical in a long time. It's a very fun, buoyant show, but whether it will win with Hamilton out there in front remains to be seen.
And just a brief note, any other sort of particularly deserving, or Matt, it's always welcome, undeserving nominees in amongst the list? Anything that caught your eye, or is it hard to look beyond Hamilton, really?
Well, I'm very, very pleased. There's a really beautiful play by a young writer called Stephen Karam called The Humans, which is a wonderful play about kind of the pain of life in America for many people right now in 2016. And it's been nominated for 6 Tony Awards, including Best Play and Best Director for the superb Joe Mantello. And that certainly gets my vote in almost all of the categories in which it's been nominated. I'm very pleased to see the great Jessica Lange nominated for Best Actress in a Play for Long Day's Journey and Tonight. She's won Oscars and Emmys. She's never before even been nominated for a Tony. So maybe this will be her year. And, you know, I would like to think on June 12th, when the Tonys actually happen, that the voters will spread the wealth a bit, but it remains to be seen. Maybe they won't.
Indeed, they're a funny bunch, aren't they? They're hard to predict. As you say, Matt, the awards take place on the 12th of June. Just going back to what you were saying about, you know, this being something of an emblem for diversity, Matt, talking about Hamilton. There's another play which is doing its bit in that realm. Shuffle Along, of course, which is a musical about a musical in a sense. I mean, Shuffle Along debuted way back in, the early 1920s with an all-black cast, which was obviously very arresting at the time. How groundbreaking was that play, I guess, first of all, before we talk about this latest iteration?
Well, Shuffle Along in 1921 was, as you rightly say, a game changer in its day. I mean, perhaps it's not too much of a stretch to say it was the Hamilton of its era. Who knows? But it, the point of this current and superb Broadway production from the director and book writer George C. Wolfe, no relation to me, is that Shuffle Along has been eclipsed by history. And so what this musical is attempting to do very dazzlingly is reclaim a slice of African-American history for absolutely mainstream consumption. And the title of the show, the full title, is Shuffle Along or the Making of the Musical Sensation of 1921 and All That Followed. That's a lot for a Broadway marquee, but it does tell you on the tin, as it were, exactly what you're going to see. I suppose one of the shocks in the nominations was that the female lead in the show, the glorious Audra McDonald, who is in fact the Broadway performer with the most Tony Awards ever, she's got 6, was not nominated for her performance in this. And it's not because she isn't very, very good. I think it's just because there were a lot of other worthy candidates in that category. But she plays an actress, a diva of the day called Lottie G. And what you get through Shuffle Along is this kind of prismatic thing where you're sort of watching bits from the show itself from 1921 folded into a much broader commentary about the circumstances surrounding the show. And the kind of double-edged sword of this production is that even though the show was breaking history in 1921, the circumstances surrounding the people connected to it were by and large pretty grim. And so you're constantly aware of the glory and the grief surrounding this production.
And how much do those sort of twin narratives, if you like, work? Because we've got the stage version again, and woven in really is the story of how it's made. Is that done sort of elegantly? Does it work in your view?
It's done very beautifully, and it's done actually very simply and dramatically, largely through the choreography of the great Savion Glover, who has deservedly been nominated and I think will win in that category, because the Shuffle Along without its choreography would be absolutely decimated. What Savion Glover, who is a former dancer himself, has done is kind of use dance formations to propel the narrative. So without giving too much away, you sort of know where you are at any point in the show itself and also the zeitgeist surrounding the show by what the dancers are doing. The dancers are your collective guide, as it were. And it's very beautiful to see dance actually given that primacy. That's something that Hamilton doesn't do. I mean, Hamilton, glorious though it is, will not be remembered for its dance. And Shuffle Along, in a way, the title is ironic because the dance zips. It's anything but a shuffle. It's kind of a rocket. So in dance terms, it could be called Rocket Along.
Indeed, and people should get along and see for themselves.
They will.
Shuffle Along, or the Making of the Musical Sensation of 1921 and All That Followed, is at the Music Box Theatre. Next up, though, Matt, let's go to Studio 54 for a revival of She Loves Me. This is being put on by the Roundabout Theatre Company to celebrate their 50th anniversary. It's the first musical they ever did back in 1993. Matt, this is a story that's been retold, I guess, in various forms. It was a Hungarian play. It was adapted into the Judy Garland musical, Good Old Summertime. It's been introduced to the sort of, you know, the modern internet age, if you like, with the rom-com of the 90s, You've Got Mail. What was the sort of original plot, and why has it been retold so often?
Well, this is a show that critics in particular really, really love. It doesn't have big, dazzling dance numbers. It doesn't sort of purport to change history. It's not a pace setter. It's that trickiest of things. It's a show that charms. It's genuinely sweet. And sweetness in the theater is actually harder to come by than you might think. It's easy to do a lot of things, but to be charming and sweet, not always successfully got at. And this show does get at it. I saw the production in New York in 1993, and this one is in fact better. It's probably the best production of the show I've seen. It doesn't celebrate diversity. It's all very white, but you know, that's as I guess you might expect from a show set in Budapest of many decades ago. And it's basically kind of star-crossed lovers, as it were. Two colleagues, both working in a Hungarian perfumery, who are sniping and snippy with one another, only to realize, spoiler ahead, by the final curtain that they are desperately and totally in love. It's got a wonderful score by the team of Bach and Harnack. Sheldon Harnack, one of the co-writers of the score, just turned 92. They're the same team behind Fiddler on the Roof, a much better known show, also currently on Broadway. And She Loves Me is just, it's a sort of beautiful little jewel. And I don't know that it would ever run for 5 or 10 years, but it doesn't intend to. It just wants to beguile. So if you want to have a very beguiling matinee, I saw it at a matinee, it's kind of the perfect matinee show, a great show to take your grandmother to.
Wonderful. Well, you can be beguiled at a Studio 54. She Loves Me is on until the 10th of July. Let's move on again, Matt, and talk briefly just about Waitress, which has just made its Broadway premiere after a run in Boston. Bring us up to speed. What's the story about here?
Well, Waitress is based, like so many shows nowadays, based on a movie from 2007. The movie is best known for a rather tragic reason, which is that the woman behind the movie, Adrienne Shelley, was murdered after the film came out, and that's sort of attached a notoriety to the film. The show is kind of belligerently feel-good in a way that slightly set my teeth on edge. Story about a waitress, played gloriously by 2014 Tony winner Jesse Mueller, about a waitress who falls in love with, wait for it, her gynecologist, and so has to deal with her horrible abusive husband, and meanwhile finds refuge baking pies with rather cutesy names to them. So it's one of these plays that sort of celebrates women like Wicked, and I think it'll be a great hit. Whether it's, you know, the best musical of the season is highly debatable, but it knows its audience and it succeeds on that level.
And just briefly, Matt, what do you make of this? Because it's been quite a long process to get this to the stage. The producers, I think, optioned the film, going back almost 10 years ago. We've also got Sarah Bareilles, the sort of pop songwriter. Yeah. It's her first foray. And a great central performance from Jesse Mueller. Is it equal to the sum of its parts?
I would say Jesse Mueller and the score are greater than the whole, funnily enough. Jesse Mueller, who won her Tony 2 years ago for playing Carole King in Beautiful, the same show that's running in London, is one of these remarkable performers who everything she does is natural and unforced, and that's something to celebrate. The score, it's great having Sarah Bareilles on Broadway, because what she won on Broadway are new voices for the musical theater, and Sarah Bareilles is one. The whole, I'm afraid, is a little too saccharine. The pie for me was a bit overcooked.
Lovely. Okay, well, maybe one to avoid. Watch anything served up by this particular waitress then. But it's on at the Brooks Atkinson Theatre until the end of the year. That pretty much brings us to the end of today's show. Thanks to our guest joining us from New York City, Matt Wolf. What's next for you, Matt? Plenty still occurring over there in Manhattan?
Oh, God, I'm going to see American Psycho in a couple of days, the Broadway musical that was on recently in London at the Almeida, and seeing a couple of things off-Broadway, because it's not just on-Broadway, it's off as well. The fun never stops.
Indeed. Well, thanks for sharing some of it with us for a moment or two. That's Matt Wolf. Thanks to him, as always. This is the Monocle Arts Review. I'm Tom Edwards. Thanks to our producer, Holly Fisher, and researcher, Fernando Augusto Pacheco. Join us again at the same time tomorrow. We'll be reviewing books with Charmaine Lovegrove. But for now, goodbye from me. Thanks very much for tuning in.